Hey, hello, and welcome to Cyberpunk Librarian Episode 2. Oh, Shirley, you're all alone. I'm Daniel Messer. Everyone, welcome to episode 2 of Cyberpunk Librarian. My name is Daniel Messer, the Cyberpunk Librarian, and for the next few minutes or so, we're going to talk about a nifty little project I fell over looking for a solution to a problem I was having. And when I found the solution, I thought, well, hey, this might be a solution for a problem other people are having, so why not share it here on the show? It's good to be back behind a microphone. I've got a nice cup of coffee here to keep me going for the rest of the podcast and hopefully the rest of the morning as well. And as always, we'll have show notes over at the website, cyberpunklibrarian.com. And you can find information about the podcast and all the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. And that's where you'll find the show notes for this very episode you're listening to today. There's not going to be a lot of them because this time around, we're just going to be talking about one thing, unlike the several things we talked about during the last show. And this one revolves around bookmarks. You know, like for your browser, not for your books. I mean, this is a library show, so I probably should clarify that when I say bookmarks, I mean online and not in books. So, web bookmarks are a squirrely thing, you know? Everyone in the library world, sooner or later, uses a web browser. They find things that are useful, interesting, meaningful, fun, or whatever, and they bookmark it for later, which is great, right? Well, it's not unusual for those links to go totally unshared with other people in the library, be it staff or patrons or whatever. I mean, think about it. How many times have you found out that your coworker knows about this awesome website that you wish they'd told you about 6 months ago when you really needed it? Or vice versa, you might have been on the receiving end or the sending end of that. And, you know, wouldn't it be nice to have some place to share all of those links, comment on them, view them, and access them whenever you want? Well, that technology exists, and it's not new or anything. We've had things like Delicious for years, haven't we? And for those who don't know, because there might be some who don't, Delicious is a bookmark sharing service, like a social network kind of, that simply allowed people to share bookmarks to the website and let everyone access them. And Delicious is still around, don't get me wrong, they're not gone. But a few years back, there was some pretty heavy drama online because Yahoo, who owned Delicious at the time, was going to, quote, sunset it. Now, many of the site's users, Delicious's users, we'll go with that. Many of their users interpreted this as a Yahoo is killing Delicious, and there was a bit of panic as people started scrambling for alternatives. Yahoo later claimed they weren't going to kill it, they were going to sell it. But I don't think you can blame the users here, though, since in every other circumstance that I've heard, sunsetting a project is synonymous with shutting it down. So, it was an interesting lesson for a lot of people. Many of them, single users, companies, organizations, and so on, had come to rely on Delicious and what it offered. And when that thing looked like it was going away, there was panic in the virtual streets. So the lesson is this. When it comes to your data, data that you're generating, data that you want to keep and count on and perhaps share with others or not, it's almost always better to own as much of it as you can. In other words, people were uploading bookmarks to Delicious all the time. But they didn't own Delicious. They didn't control Delicious. They had no say in Delicious. Yahoo could have shut the service down overnight without telling anybody, and there wouldn't be anything anyone could do about it. So, why not set up something like that, a repository for your bookmarks, but in a place where you can say, mine, this is mine. Sounds like an interesting idea? Well, you're going to be surprised just how easy it is to do. This little project while looking for something to save me from my own bookmarks. I use a browser in multiple locations. It's part of my job. So I have a work laptop, a work desktop, I've got my desktop at home, my server at home, I've got a tablet, my phone. I've got bookmarks everywhere, or at least I did. Now, I tried a couple bookmarking syncing solutions, but I was never happy with how they worked, or, as was too often the case, didn't work. It just takes one or two bad syncs where you've got duplicates all over the place, or stuff that's missing that you know should be there before you finally throw your hands up in the air, say a few words in German so the people around you can't understand you, and look for something better. So I thought, well, maybe I could use Delicious or something like that, but I wondered if there was anything I could install in my own web space, and, you know, that way, it's mine. I can share what I want, of course, because I do like sharing information online, that's kind of what I'm about, but I could also maybe add what I want, and unless I stop paying the bill for my web space, it's probably not going to go away. That's when I discovered Sharely. Now that's Sharely. And I might be butchering that pronunciation, but I'm pretty sure it would be pronounced Sharely. So Sharely is your very own personal bookmark aggregator. It's your very own Delicious. It's simple, it's elegant, and it's so easy to use that if you can use a browser, you can use Sharely. And even better, Sharely is easy to install and set up. So let's take a deeper look. As always, you can find the link for Sharely in the show notes. So when you're done listening to this, head on over to cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast to get yourself informed. Now, Sharely is a PHP-based web app that you can put on any web server running a minimum of PHP version 5.1. And installation couldn't be easier. Some of my listeners may have installed WordPress or Drupal or some kind of online application where you have to, you know, connect it to a database and fill out some config files and stuff like that. You know, and that's easy if you kind of know what you're doing. It may be a little time consuming, but it's not hard. Sharely is none of that. To get Sharely up and running, you grab the zip file off of the site, extract it to a folder on your computer, and then upload that folder to your web server, and that's it. Congratulations, you just installed Sharely. Now then, we're going to need to configure it, of course, because, you know, it's not much use if it's not ready to go. But that is so easy, too. Every point along the way when I started using this, I found myself saying, that's it? That's all I have to do. And I would, you know, click around and make sure that things were working like I thought they should. And yes, that's it. That's all I had to do. So setting it up, point your browser at the folder that you created on your web server. You know, when you first access the site, you're going to be prompted to create the user for the site and give it a title. Now, Sharely is single user, so if you want to create a bookmark aggregator for your library or your branch or for a group of people, you'll have to create a single user that they all have the username and password for. If it's just for you, then hey, it's just for you. After you create your user and set a title for your site, you're set to go. That is it. You click save or OK. I don't remember exactly what the button says. And that's it. I called mine Link Dump. But yeah, that's all there is to it. You've just set up an online bookmark aggregator. But we're not going to leave off there. Sharely has features you should know about, because this is where it really shines. So, first up, when you bring up your Sharely site, you'll have some links along the top of the page. And the first thing you should hit is the Tools link. And that right there is that right there has the gold mine for your ability to share links to your own aggregator, because there is a bookmarklet on that Tools page. You drag that bookmarklet to your bookmarks bar or your favorites bar of whatever browser you're using, and then saving a link to your Sharely site is just as easy as clicking that bookmarklet. There are also tools there to import and export bookmarks to and from a wide variety of sources. So if you want to start things off by uploading a set of bookmarks that you've exported from your browser, go for it. If you have someone new on the team and you want to get them started with the set of bookmarks on Sharely, that'll work too. You can export the Sharely bookmarks, download those, and then import them into whatever browser that person is using. However, what I recommend is that you stop bookmarking things to your browser and send them to Sharely. Like, just do that, period. Now, Dan, you ask, how will I ever find them? Well, all I can say is that all things are easy in the land of Sharely. When you save a bookmark to Sharely, either on the side or through the bookmarklet or however, you give it a name, you can tag it, and you can describe it. And then you can filter by tags or, you know, just search for it, because Sharely comes with a search feature built in. It will search for anything in the in those bookmark records. So if you gave it a description and you don't remember what the link was called, but you kind of remember what the description was about, you could search for words in the description. I did a search on mine just to see if it would find, you know, a piece of a word. So I did that. I actually did it with one of the songs that I use here on the podcast. And I just typed one of the words. It's a compound word. It's the opening song to the podcast called Belly Dance at Ebisu. And I just typed belly and hit search. And sure enough, it found it. So not bad. So the tags. Tags are space separated. So if you want to tag something with a multiple word phrase, you're going to need to hyphenate that word. That's kind of a downfall, because I like, you know, using comma separated tags, and Sharely doesn't do that. But really, who cares? So if you have a link that you want to tag as popular fiction, you're going to have to tag it as popular-fiction. That will make it, you know, sort of one word. And once you kind of wrap your head around that and you kind of know what to search for based on that, it's fine. It's pretty easy to work with from there. Excuse me. Additionally, you can designate a bookmark as private. So that means you have to be logged in to see the bookmark. It won't show the tags and it won't come up in searches unless you're logged in. So if you have a public Sharely site, but you want to put bookmarks on it that are strictly for you and maybe your team or whatever, and you don't want the whole wide world seeing them, just mark it as private, because any tag that's on that won't show up in the tag cloud. It won't show up in the tag searches or any of the searches at all. And that includes, you know, if you've got tags that are both public and private, your public tags will still show up, but your private stuff is still safe. So if you want to create a Sharely site for your library, you could put staff links on there, but make them private so the public doesn't see them. Then again, you could also install Sharely to a private web server, maybe behind your firewall, and that way it's only available to you and yours. You have multiple options, because wherever you can put a web server, and you can put a web server pretty much anywhere these days, you can put Sharely on it and use it as you see fit. Now, sharing links is easy. And there are three distinct ways to do it. The first is the normal, sort of go to the Sharely site, your site, have a look, and click things. That's pretty standard, right? Sending people to the site, sending yourself to the site, just seeing what's there. but there's also an RSS feed generated by your Sharely site. So the nice thing about that is I am a huge fan of RSS. So I could set up a Sharely site for, say, a team at the library. And if I want to keep an eye on what they're adding to that site, I could pull the RSS feed, and that will show up in my Feedly on my browser, you know, when I check my news feeds in the morning or in the afternoon or most of the time, because I usually have Feedly open all day long. Yeah. Anyway, so there's an RSS feed that comes from that, and you can even filter the RSS by tag. So if you just want to see certain tags, you certainly can. Now, the third one, this is one of those where it may or may not be useful to you, depending on what you're doing with your site. I think it's neat, but I would be hard-pressed to use it for anything myself. But I could see cases where it might be useful, so I'm going to talk about it. And that is the much, much applauded, little used QR code. Now, Sharely creates a QR code for each link you save. Does it automatically. So if you're looking at the site on a computer, but want to get that link on a mobile device, you can bring up the QR code, scan it, and it's there. For some, that'll be absolutely useless, while for others, that might be a great feature. I mean, your mileage may vary. Give it a shot, play with it. If you don't want to use it, you certainly don't have to. As a matter of fact, the little icon for the QR code almost blends into the background. It's something that it's pretty obvious that the designer who made this, the developer who made this, kind of put that there in a method to where if you're looking for it, you will find it, and if you're not, you will easily ignore it. So, great stuff. So, some final nifty things about the software. Sharely automatically creates thumbnail images for you on many sites like YouTube, Imgur, Flickr, PhotoBucket, I think. There's quite a few. So, when you save a link from one of those supported sites, you'll get a thumbnail image to go with it. It just generates it for you automatically. It makes it really easy to identify if you know what you're looking for in that image. And it makes the site look good, too. I mean, it's nice to have images. Now, if you know CSS or HTML, you can easily customize this site to your wishes. I left mine alone because I think it's fine. But if you want to apply a library look and brand to your Sharely site, your webmaster or webmistress can make that happen. From what I looked at the code, it's pretty easy to figure out. If you know what you're doing with HTML and CSS, you can have something up and running real quick with your library brand or whatever on it. And Sharely is also easy to back up and move. One of the great things about having something that's yours is you can pick it up and take it elsewhere. So, say for instance, you've got this on a server at work, and IT comes along and says, hey, we're going to be shutting that server down, migrating all the data to another server. Do you have anything on there? Yes, I have Sharely on there. But all of the data is stored in a single file in a single folder. And if you want to move it, you just copy the contents of the folder to another folder. It's almost as portable as a flash drive. So moving it around, backing it up is easy. You could totally script the backup of that just to bring it down to your computer every night or every week or whatever, and that way you've got a backup in case something goes wrong, because things go wrong. Hard drives die. It happens. Believe me, I know. So, if you're looking for a better method of bookmarking, Sharely could be the thing for you. It's free, it's open source, and it's absolutely amazing. Try it, even for your own personal use, and I think you're going to love it as much as I do. So thank you for coming back for episode 2 of Cyberpunk Librarian. It's always good to get one of these recorded, and like I said, I'm going to get one of these out at least every 2 weeks. So, you know, keep an eye on the feed. You can always subscribe on iTunes or grab the RSS feed off the website. That's cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. You'll get all the information about the podcast there, where you can subscribe, see what past episodes are, and all of that stuff. If you need to contact me, you can do so via email, cyberpunklibrarian@gmail.com. I check that frequently. I check it often. So if you give me a message, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Music for this episode, as always, the opening music is Belly Dance at Ebisu by Ryo Miyashita. And what you're listening to right now, this chill track, is Miranda by Koalips from their EP Rain on Mars. Check it out. I'll have links to that in the show notes, to both songs. Good stuff there. Good chill music. So if you're having one of those long, hard days, might be just the thing for it. I'm Daniel Messer. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next time here on Cyberpunk Librarian.